so you can make the best decision on whether to exit or grow your business. Email connect@dealleadersint.com. Deal Leaders International, partnering with you.
Due diligence on classic business is brought to you by Deal Leaders International, leaders in mergers and acquisitions. This is Dawn Riddler standing in for Michael Avery this week. We're now going to be chatting to Dino Zoccolo. Dino is from Westbrook Alternative Asset Management, and he's going to be unpacking some of the misconceptions around private debt and how it can be used as an asset class. This is an asset class that has previously only been available to the investment elite, and this is actually a misconception. It is one of the world's fastest growing alternative asset classes, and Dino is going to help demystify it for us. So Dino, do you want to just explain what this asset class is and what people can do to use it?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Dawn, and certainly an interesting topic. I'll do my best to keep it brief. What is private debt? As you've mentioned, private debt, now the world's fastest growing alternative asset class. And simply put, private debt is where someone other than a bank makes a loan to a company. And I think if you go back a couple of years, 2008, which was the global financial crisis, really was the advent of the era of private debt. And the reason for that is that the response post-global financial crisis on the part of regulators was things like Basel. And that increased the level of red tapes on banks substantially, to the point where most banks nowadays have entry points from a size perspective below which they just don't want to operate, and also from a duration perspective. So your typical bank model is to make a five-year loan and to make it of a size that's meaningful. I suppose in South Africa, that's anywhere north of 50 to 100 million rand. At a corporate bank in the UK, it's 20 million pounds and above. And what we've identified and what the world has identified is that there's a very, very large sort of forgotten middle of businesses globally that are looking for access to capital, that are high quality businesses that have a need. That need might be for a funding package of less than 20 million pounds or 50 million rand, or it might be for short duration debt. What we've seen recently is that the banks just don't want to do it because the cost of implementation from a regulatory perspective is just much higher than what the return is for them. And as a result, it's not where they're looking to play. And increasingly, the private debt sector has been able to play in that gap and give clients an outsized return, in our view, for the relative level of risk that they're taking in the process.
That's very interesting. But at the end of the day, Dino, I think when people think of private equity and these kind of vehicles that have only been available to higher net worth individuals up until now and bigger companies up until now, is the promise of higher returns, which always draws people in, but obviously brings in the skeptics as well. So do you want to just unpack the sort of risk return sort of equation that you find in private debt?
Yeah, I think any investment comes with risk. That's where we should start. And Dawn, it's important to point out that there are different types of risk in an investment. So there's investment risk, which is the risk of the underlying investment going bad. But there's also types of risk associated with things like advice risk. Many wealth advisors will talk to you about advice risk. Am I giving my client the right advice? And certainly in the world of alternatives or private market assets, which is what I prefer to refer to them as, there's liquidity risk. And so in many instances, what we're doing here is we're trading one risk off for another. And also by playing in these niches of markets where there is an asymmetry between risk and return, you're getting a client a higher return for the level of risk. But to put it in very simple terms, think about the traditional bank model, Dawn. The bank model is to write debt at a rate linked in South Africa, for example, to prime, and generally prime plus is the model, but then to raise the money in order to make those loans from deposit holders at much lower rates. And who's taking the delta between what you pay a deposit holder and what you're lending money out at? That's the bank who's taking that rate. Really, all private debt is there's almost like a disintermediation play going on here, where that spread is being reduced by private lenders such as ourselves at Westbrook Alternative Asset Management, and more of the pie is being given to the investor. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't come without other forms of challenges, but I'm certainly you know, I'm happy to say, in my opinion, that an investment in private debt in, you know, with a good manager, the likes of ourselves, is not necessarily riskier than a traditional sort of bond or fixed income type instrument. It's that the risks are different. And I think the one big risk to point out with any form of private market asset is liquidity. You know, many clients are used to investing in a bond. And the one thing about a bond is that you can sell or buy that bond at any point in time. In alternatives, you're locked in for a period of time. And so part of the return is as a result of the lock-in and the lack of liquidity, but there are also a number of pros. And the big pro I think many of our clients have seen recently is that there's a huge amount of volatility in the traditional market at the moment. I think a lot of it driven by the fact that people aren't really sure what kind of a world we're in. Are we in an increasing interest rate environment going forward? Are we in a decreasing interest rate environment going forward? I think the fact that many people don't know is creating a heck of a lot of volatility. And that means that your listed bond investment might have a mark-to-market adjustment. And oftentimes in an increasing interest rate environment, it's a loss. Private debt doesn't have that. And so certainly it gives you a more stable ride. Think of a boat in, you know, in the ocean during a thunderstorm or in calm seas. You might still get from A to B, but you're certainly going to have a very different experience getting there depending on what the weather's like.
You make a very good point there, Dino. What about the potential tax efficiency? Is this only applicable really if it's corporates that are investing, or can private individuals get a tax break on this as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, a tax break, probably not. Tax-enhanced investing in South Africa is something that we do as Westbrook, but that's in a different area. At the moment, we're focusing quite a lot there in solar and in some tax enhancements there. But specifically in the private debt asset class, I wouldn't say you get a tax break, but certainly it can be structured in a way that is more efficient for a client. And it's another advantage of alternatives is that you have got a little bit more scope to structure things more efficiently for the type of client who's coming in. In the case of Westbrook Alternative Asset Management, we're a business that's by and large funded by ultra high net worth individuals, wealth managers and their clients. And so everything that we do is designed in a way that is the most tax efficient for our investors.
I understand that. One of the things that is probably most important about this is it's a different asset class and is very good at helping to diversify a portfolio. Are there sort of minimum buy-ins? How would this actually work in the real world?
Yeah, and maybe before we get to the minimum buy-ins, just to re-emphasize that point.